I had difficulty with this lesson. If, Lord willing, I move in about a month. I don't like to move for lots of reasons. I guess if I could move, just walk away from one house and walk into another, but that doesn't work, does it? And I don't like to move because I leave people that are part of my treasures. I have treasures from the time that I was born to this hour. People that have been a blessing to me and a care. Three R's of the gospel. Now, they probably haven't mentioned that in school in 90 years, but I grew up learning the three R's. Remember those? Reading, writing, and arithmetic. My English teacher hated that. But those were the foundations. If you didn't learn the foundations, you weren't ready to build anything. If you didn't learn the alphabet, you weren't able to learn to read. You couldn't count. You couldn't do math. These things were important in education. Well, the Bible talks about three R's as well. The three R's of the gospel. I don't know if this is on. Love technology, don't we? Next slide, Troy. It's not going to work for me. The three R's are found in Revelation, the second chapter, first seven verses. These first three chapters of Revelation are to seven churches of Asia. And they are sometimes commendable, but most often they are corrective, aren't they? Things they want them to correct. Not that he's trying to show them, I'm good, I am perfect, you're the ones that are bad. He writes this because one, the Holy Spirit has directed him to, and the Holy Spirit is trying to get them to see they're going in the wrong direction. They're failing God, they're failing themselves, they're failing their brothers and sisters in Christ, and they're failing the lost. So he writes to them. Revelation 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst stand them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, found them liars, hath borne and hath patience, and for my name's sake hath labored, and hath not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art falling, and repent. Do the first works, or else I'll come unto thee quickly and will move thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast. Thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Try it again. We're having trouble with this PowerPoint. First R, remember. We forget. I have a great memory. The only problem is I have a greater forgetter. I forget more than I learn. So I have to go back and relearn. I have to go back and remember. The last month has been a month of memories. Packing things. I have come across stuff that I had forgotten. Books that I forgot that I had. Wish I'd remembered I did. Pictures. Items. Things that just bring back memory. It's been doubly hard for lots of reasons. One of those is my loss of Suzanne. So we have memories of our childhood, of our life, of our schooling, of our friends, of growing up, sweethearts, marriages, children. Wow. You don't realize how many memories you do have. And going through all these things have brought back memories that were laid aside for a period of time. I remember my first girlfriend, Shirley by name. Shirley was a cute little blonde. We used to do programs for the PTA. And often I was called upon to be a part of that program. And I got to sing to Shirley. I remember the first song that I sang to her. We had been friends for a long time. Our parents were friends. The first song was about a little boy and a little girl. I've lost sight of Shirley. I don't know where Shirley is now. Her folks are dead. My next great love of my life, I remember. You know why you remember that first love, those special people? Because it was something special. It wasn't common. I remember Kathy. I remember Eleanor. Eleanor. I can't say Eleanor was my first love. She was my first. She was a pest. She followed me from class to class in college. Should have married Eleanor. Her folks were rich and she died just a few years later. Not that funny, Beth. I remember my first wife. I remember our love. I remember our closeness. I remember our times together. And I remember Suzanne. Hebrews 10, verse 32, but call to remembrance the former days which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of affection. Do you remember when you became a Christian? Was it a sad occasion? No. I come and you still remember it. I remember the night I was baptized. I remember the man that did it. I remember the reaction of people because that was a very special occasion in my life. He said, remember, there's some things I don't want you ever to forget. Romans 5, verse 8. But God commandeth his love towards us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. I need to remember every day, every moment of every day, God died for me. Remembrances are good. They sometimes can hurt, but they're good because if they are proper, if they are right, it draws us back to them. And he's telling these people here at Ephesus, remember. Remember. Romans 5 verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith unto the grace wherein we stand. Rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. It's because of Christ. It's not because of me. It's not because of anybody on the face of this earth. It's because of the Son of God that came and died for me. And I will remember His death until mine. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. John 3, verse 16. Anybody here can quote it? For God so loved to all the people that are upon the face of this earth, all that have lived from Adam to the baby that was born a minute ago. God loved all. And for that love, what happened? Christ died for us. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, in that though He was rich for your sake, He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. Read somewhere, Warren Buffett's giving away his billions. I wonder if I'm on the list. I hope so. I doubt it. I have no reason to have that hope. But you know what? That's nothing compared to the riches that Christ gave up in heaven to come to earth, be born in a stable, live poverty. Even in his life, he later on had no place to call home. He didn't have a house. He didn't have a castle. He didn't have great fine clothing. He had nothing in this life. And he gave up the greatest riches of all, heaven, to come to be the Savior of the world, to die for man. Remember 1 Peter 2, verse 24. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to our sins, to live under righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. Wow. We can read in Isaiah how that Christ suffered for us. We can read in the gospel accounts how that Christ suffered for us. So we need to always remember that. That's going to be a drawing card. Love is a drawing card. And the love of God is greater than any and all the world. With that love, He draws you unto Himself. And that love, He draws you from the world and the bondage of Satan, pays the price on the cross that we might be redeemed. Let's remember from whence we've fallen. To those that are obedient to the gospel, you have fallen from the world. To those that are Christians, those that He's writing to here at Ephesus, He says, remember where you came from. Remember what you've fallen from. Remember what you've left behind and you need to go back to. I'd love to go back to some of my memories. But I need to go back to what I have been and could be and should be in Jesus Christ. I still remember the thrill of Shirley, of Kathy, of Beverly, of Suzanne. It makes my old heart go pitter-patter. Because it was exciting. Wow. We need to remember our first love. And we talked about that night in which we were, the day in which you were obedient to the gospel and were baptized and had such joy. Remember that first love. Remember how you were on fire for God. How much you wanted to learn. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling correctly the word of God. 2 Peter 2 verse 2. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of the truth will be spoken evil of. So let's hold to the truth. Let's study the truth. Let's learn the truth. Let's remember the truth, that it might draw us continually to God. A friend asked me a question once. If you were put onto an island like John, okay, and you could have one book, what would it be? Now, the Christians all know that should be the Bible. But is that really the book you love? Is that the book that you read the most? Is that the book that you devour its contents? Some people can tell you more about a movie than they can the Bible. They can tell you more about a book of men than they can the Bible. That should not be love the word. If we have fallen from that word, if we have fallen from that study, if we've fallen from that desire, if we've fallen from that love, we need to turn back to it. 2 Peter 3 verse 18, but grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Remember your first love. Remember your brothers and sisters in Christ. They are a part of the treasure that God has blessed us with. Sometimes they don't seem like a treasure. Sometimes they have really been quite opposite. But God gave us His body. He gave us His church for a purpose, because we need it. It allows us to come together, to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, to pray together, to study together. So many things the Bible encourages us to do. Let's not forget the love that we have had for the brethren, but sometimes that love starts dying. So we start loving other people more than we like our brothers and sisters in Christ. We start loving doing other things than being together with them and worshiping God. That should not be. Remember the first love. And remember the commitments that you have made. When we were obedient to the gospel, we made a commitment. We gave ourselves, all of us, all of ourselves completely, fully, totally to God. We made a commitment, but do we still keep that commitment? A lot of commitments people make that don't keep. Sometimes commitments are made under difficult situations. We live in a time in a world when commitments that were made at the time of marriage mean nothing today. But folks, we have promised before God a commitment to that partner, and we're not going to let anything stand between. But many do, don't they? Second one, next slide, George. Repent. He said, remember and repent. Now, repentance is a turning. He said to go back. To repent from what you're doing now, if it's wrong, go back to that which is right or that which is good. God commands it. Matthew 3, verse 2. There was a work that was given unto a fellow by the name of John, the baptizer. Oh, John. He went out. And he went out preaching repentance. Turn back to God. The world found out that there's pleasure in sin. Moses told us that he found out about it, but he wasn't going to stay in it. Bad part is right now there are millions that are caught in that pleasure. 2 Peter 3 verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. I haven't counted it up, have you, Jim? How many times is repentance mentioned in the New Testament? Number, isn't it? Quite a number. Is it important to God? When I was teaching classes, if I told you something once, I told you that because I wanted you to know it. If I told it to you twice, I wanted you to remember it. And if I told it to you three times, you could just be assured it's going to be on a test. And if God mentions repentance 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 times, does he mean it? Oh, but I don't have to. It wasn't all that big a thing. What difference does it make? Godly sorrow, 2 Corinthians 7, verses 9 and 10, leads to repentance. Remember that remembrance thing? When I look back and see what I have done, where I have come from, and I'm sorry for it, I have godly sorrow. It makes me want to turn from what I am doing to what I should be doing and the direction I should be going and the mindset that I should have. Now, there are some people that quit things. I had a friend of mine. He said he lost 200 pounds, 5 pounds at a time. He'd make a commitment, I'm going to lose weight, and he'd start in. But did he really have the mindset to do it? He turned around and went back to it real quick. Yeah, that cake was so good. Pleasures of the world are so good, and they lure Christians time and time and time again. Matthew 21, Verse 28, 29. Well, what think you? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first, and he said, Son, go work today in the vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterwards, he repented. What did he do? He went from not to doing. There was a change in attitude. There was a change in action. And that's repentance. Matthew 12, verse 41. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment against this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Now, that upset Jonah. I mean, it just totally. He went up on the hillside to watch the show, and it didn't happen because he knew they were going to turn around and God would forgive them. And he just wanted to see them destroyed. They weren't his friends. They weren't his fellow countrymen. These were Gentiles. Gentiles that the Jews did not like. So he was ready for them to be wiped out. God wasn't. That's why he sent Jonah. Jonah. Chapter 3, verse 10. And God saw their works. And that they'd turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil. And he said that he would do to them. And he did it not. There's a song, I read that somewhere here recently. It's called, Did You Repent? Fully Repent. It's easy to say the words, isn't it? I know a lot of guys that say the words all the time to girls. I love you. I love you. No, they don't. Many times what they're saying is, I'll use you. Because actions speak louder than words. Those in Nineveh's actions spoke to God because they changed in their actions. And you don't change in your actions till you change in your thinking. So we have to remember. We have to repent. And forth. We have to return. That's the hard thing to do sometimes. When you've done something wrong. You remember one of those girls I mentioned was named Kathy. One day I said something, well, not directly, indirectly. I used her brother to convey a message that was degrading and stupid and dumb and evil. Her mother called my mother. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble now. Don't want to get a mother involved. And my mother made me go upstairs right then, take a bath, clean up, even made me put on a suit. Did you notice I put on a tie for you tonight? And made me march to Kathy's house to apologize to her. We have to return. We have to return to certain things in our life if we have turned from them, if we have forsaken them, if we have forgotten them. And the scriptures remind us of them. We need to repent and return. Troy? Next click. We need to remember that first love. That love that we had for God. A love that was strong. That was new, that was growing. Do you love God? You know, I've asked that of couples sometimes. they're having trouble. They come to me for some advice. And I said, do you love your mate? Do you love your husband? Do you love your wife? And almost invariably they'll say, well, yeah. They don't like my next words. Why don't you act like it? Do you love God? Then you'll act like it. If you've not shown Him the kind of love that you should, your love has been stolen by another. That happened to me. It hurt. One night, I came home. My wife didn't. We didn't have a phone at that point. I had no way to contact her. It got late and I wondered, where is she? And a thousand things collided in my mind of what might have happened. I even drove down to her work. She wasn't there. I started searching among my friends. She wasn't there. What if God looks into your heart and looks for the love that belongs to Him and find out that you have given it to another? Maybe it's the world. Maybe it's the pleasures. Maybe it's the self-interest. A thousand things can steal our love of God if we allow it. And we need to return to that first love. If there's anything that stands between you and God in any way, you must repent of it and return to God. Then, are you a praying person? I'm talking about a real praying person. I started to do a lesson on prayer. I have a problem. It developed into 10 lessons. I got a whole series now I can teach in Bible class for a quarter. Prayer is that full and complete in the Scriptures. God, Son, prayed. He needed prayer. Says He got up early. I know people who wouldn't get up early for anything. They just hope that judgment doesn't come early because they'll not make it. But folks, He got up early and went out by Himself and prayed. Remember Daniel? Daniel prayed 3 times a day. He wasn't going to let anything interfere with it. Even if the king said, you won't pray, he went, opened his window, started praying. Now, the Old Testament law was a little bit stronger than that. It required the Jews to pray 5 times a day. Do you pray 5 times a day? Probably only if you eat 5 times a day and you pray before your meal. I need to talk to God more often than that. I can't be like David. Said David used to pray all night. I have a problem. I lay down and I start praying. If I don't watch it, I start sleeping. So I have to find myself praying in places isn't quite as comfortable. Do you pray morning, noon, and night? Are your thoughts more on God and godly things or the world and worldly things? We need to return to prayer. Study. Wow. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly handling or dividing the word of truth. Do you study? Not just passively read. I remember Bible classes as a kid, we had to write down each week, you know, if you read any of the Bible. We usually put down some stuff. You know, there are some books that are pretty short. There are some chapters that are pretty short. And guess which chapters got written down most? Did we study them? Did we learn them? Or did we just pacify our own conscience and that of the teacher? Somebody brings up a subject or you see something that makes you wonder, do you study to learn the truth? Does God approve of how I'm handling the Word of God? Told us to do our first works. We were created for a purpose. We weren't created so that we can get all the gusto out of life that we can. Had a young man ask me a question. He said, "What's the purpose of man?" Well, it took me back at first because I didn't question that. I had always, knew it. But he was earnest. He was truthful. He had asked this question of a number of people. Wow. The whole duty of man is to serve God and keep His commandments. Service. 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 Do we serve or do we expect to be served? Do we look to God to give us or do we look for opportunities to give to God of our lives, of our interest, of our thoughts, of our love? Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence, with godly fear. There was a warning here. He told them, if you won't repent, if you don't do what I'm asking here, if you don't return to what you should be, there was going to be a consequence. And he says, if you'll repent, if you'll turn back to me, then we'll get to eat of the tree of life found in the garden of heaven. Wow. I don't know what that tree tastes like, but I know what I want to one day taste it. Now you're probably wondering, there's some strange things in the building. It's not that we use it for a matter of worship. It's a Bible illustration. The first time I used this, the building was at night. We had some coal oil lamps going on. So it was pretty dark, so people could see it better than now. But folks, he said, we are the light of the world. Remember his sermon on the mount? You don't hide it. Don't put a bushel over it. It's important. We, each individually, collectively, as the body of Christ, have the influence that the world needs to turn back to God. We have the teachings to show them how to turn back to God. But you know, there's some things that put our candle out. Do the lust of the world. I forgot my sniffer. They put your candle out. Do your interest, your desires, the things that you partake of, do they put your candle out? Do your friends, relatives, quote unquote, friends, your acquaintances, those that you associate with, do they help put your candle out? Do the things that you surround yourself with help put your candle out? Does your attitude, your lack of love, put your candle out? Get darker in it. Don't let the world, don't let sin, don't let anything put your candle out. You've never been obedient. I believe that most all that are in this building this hour have been obedient to the gospel, but there are some that maybe have not. You've never lit your candle. You're not aglow with the freedom that stands being obedient and being in the Lord. And that opportunity is yours. That opportunity to turn in obedience to God's commandments. Having done that, I don't know the exact date anymore when I was baptized, but I know it's been a couple of years, you know, because I'm only 39. Now, I'm not going to stand here and lie to you. I'm older than that, maybe 41. But I don't want anything to put my candle out. If you have turned away from God, if you like those that he speaks about in these first part of Revelation, have done things that are contrary to his will. You've let the world rob you of your love, of your devotion, of your commitment. Then why not turn back to God now? That opportunity, that invitation is yours. Together we stand and as we sing.